You're listening to SBS News.
Millions of migrants and refugees around the world experience poorer health outcomes than those in their host communities. That's an alarming conclusion highlighted in the first global report by the World Health Organization on the health of refugees and migrants. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says there are sometimes dire consequences for these populations.
The health needs of refugees and migrants are often neglected or unaddressed in the countries they pass through or settle in. They face multiple barriers, including out-of-pocket costs, discrimination, and fear of detention and deportation. Many countries do have health policies that include health services for refugees and migrants, but too many are either ineffective or are yet to be implemented effectively.
The WHO chief also says education, income, housing, and access to services result in poorer health outcomes for these communities, and the situation is further exacerbated by linguistic, cultural, and legal barriers.
Many migrant workers are engaged in the so-called 3D jobs, dirty, dangerous, and demanding, without adequate social and health protection or sufficient occupational health measures. Refugees and migrants are virtually absent from global surveys and health data, making these vulnerable groups almost invisible in the design of health systems and services. We hope governments will use this report to develop evidence-informed policies.
So, what's happening in Australia? In addition to Australian and New Zealand citizens, permanent residents and those applying for permanent residency, a number of other visa holders and many migrants and refugees qualify for Medicare benefits. While international students don't qualify, they're able to get overseas student health cover through some of the health insurance funds, for which the lowest cost of minimum cover is $478 for 12 months for a single. Multicultural advocate Rita Prasad Ildes of Queensland-based World Wellness Group says migrants and refugees face significant issues and obstacles.
It's a really complex issue about why these barriers exist, because it's really a mix of sort of cultural health beliefs. There can be language barriers. You know, if information is only available in English, those messages don't reach people. It's not understanding the healthcare system. It's perhaps not even understanding sometimes that certain illnesses can be prevented by vaccines. So you're talking about a whole range of different issues that also come together in translating into a barrier. So you need to really tackle all of that in order to break that down so that people do get that information.
Chief Executive Officer of the Australian Refugee Association, Deb Stringer, says the language barrier is the most significant issue.
But I think the systems are set up for people who have learned English their whole lives, who read and write well in English, who know how to interpret the systems and understand and have an expectation around services. I don't think that there is enough thought about servicing all of the people from in Australia who are now Australian residents who speak whose first language is in English and who haven't grown up in the Western health system, so don't know what to expect. So I think the health sector in particular could do a lot more to make more inclusive programs.
Ms. Prasad Ildes says the COVID-19 death rate in Australia shows how disadvantaged migrant and refugee populations are when it comes to healthcare. She referred to the Australian Bureau of Statistics data released in February this year, which showed overseas-born residents of Australia died from COVID-19 at 3 times the rate of people born in the country. And Deb Stringer says COVID-19 messaging is a good example of how the health messaging didn't serve these communities well.
First of all, some of the early translations were incorrect. And it was all in written form when many communities, particularly humanitarian migrants, often may not read or write in their own language. And so there was an expectation that everybody could read and write. There was an expectation that people could navigate complex online systems to get the right information, which wasn't particularly feasible for some communities, particularly those who even lack access to technology, let alone have digital literacy.
Yana Favaro from the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre in Melbourne says the healthcare challenges refugees and asylum seekers face in Australia are more significant than those encountered by skilled migrants.
People seeking asylum and refugees are really at the whim of what visa they're on and the conditions on the visa. And we know that about 20% of people seeking asylum actually don't have access to Medicare. So it's the conditions on their visa, and the system is just stacked against people seeking asylum. So we are hopeful of change, but it will take time because it's undoing 9 years of an absolute failed system.
Advocates say the government is taking some measures to address the issue. Funded by the federal government, Brisbane-based World Wellness Group has launched a multicultural health-focused helpline called Multicultural Health Connect on 1800 186 815. In a statement to SBS News, the Department of Health says culturally, linguistically and ethnically diverse communities have been identified as a priority population in multiple national strategies and action plans, acknowledging the health disparities experienced by these groups. The department also says it is currently working with Health Direct to pilot a culturally and linguistically diverse helpline catering for callers from diverse communities. Marcus Megalokonomos, SBS News.